Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We began this verse last Sunday evening. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Now the chapter, at least the first 20 verses, deals with three different walks. And we'll see those three different walks as we get further on in the chapter. But it all begins here in verse number 1 and gives us why we should walk. And here's why. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word and the instruction we can find from it. Father, help us tonight to hear what your Spirit has to say to us, that we might live the life that brings glory to your name and that you're pleased with. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at the idea of what it is to be a follower. And we've been following this word through the scriptures. We saw it defined from four different verses, doing that which is right in God's eyes, keeping his commandments, denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily, and then realizing that delay or distraction is not following. Okay, that was it defined. We began looking at it described last week. We saw it described negatively. We found that not following kindles the Lord's anger against us. Not following is a great sin. Not following makes one unworthy of Christ. And I really can't remember if we covered this one or not, but let's turn back to Numbers 32. And we're going to be jumping around in the scriptures this evening. I'm not certain if we'll come back to Ephesians chapter 5 or not. Numbers chapter 32. In verse number 11, we read this. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Now we, I think, know the situation here where God was trying to lead Israel into the promised land and took them to the very brink of it at the southern end, and they sent the 12 spies into the land to check it out. And the 10 came back with an evil report. Only Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report saying, let us go in. Everything these fellows said is true, but God promised it to us. Now, I'm elaborating on what the Bible records they actually said. But nevertheless, the people followed the 10, and they then, because they didn't follow God, sacrificed the blessings God had planned for them. And so we see a negative description to God's word. What will happen if we don't follow? God is trying to encourage us to follow as he commands us there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, let's turn around the coin and see the other side. And let's see positively what God's description in his word is to following. And so we're still in Numbers 32. And look at the very next verse, verse number 12. Verse number 11 deals with those that didn't follow. They sacrificed the blessing. But in verse number 12, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And so Caleb and Joshua were allowed to see God's blessing to its fullest. In fact, remember Caleb, I want that mountain. God had promised him a specific area there in the promised land, and he's 80 years old. And God preserved him alive until that day, and he goes in and he gets the land. And so they saw God's great blessing in their life. Why did they see God's great blessing? Because they wholly followed the Lord. Don't discount the value of following God. It'll bring the blessings, abundant blessings. Let's turn to the 63rd Psalm, Psalm 63. Let's see another positive description of following God. If we follow, will be blessed. Psalm 63, verse number 8. Psalm 63, 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. The psalmist speaking to God. Now what does God do in response? Thy right hand upholdeth me. In other words, what he's finding is that he has God's support in all that he does. The right hand would be the hand of power. The upholding him would be support. He's saying that everything I do, I find that God is behind me, that God is supporting me, that God is helping me through it all because he's following after God. And we know that that just makes common sense because if we're following hard means closely. If we're following closely after God, we're going to be doing God's will in our life. And if we're doing God's will in our life, we know that his blessing will be on us. We know his support will be there. We know his help will be there in our lives. And so following assures one of God's support. Well, there's, I couldn't imagine trying to do something and not have God's support. Trying to go through circumstances that are trying and difficult and not have God behind me, upholding me and helping me. But if we follow hard after God, he says that's what'll happen. God will be there holding us up. Let's look now in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I know we're kind of hurrying through these, but there's 9 positive descriptions in the Word of God of following. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. We won't belabor this because this had a lot to do with the message this morning, but I do want you to see this. This is important. Because we might say, well, I'm following God. Well, here's a good test. And this rules out a lot of people I've known that have said that they've been following Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. And he said unto them, follow me. And what will happen if we follow him? He says, I will make you fishers of men. Now, this verse is a whole message in itself. The I will make means that we're not naturally fishers of men. It means that we don't naturally have the training. We don't naturally have that capability. But God says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about your inabilities. Don't worry about your deficiencies. Don't worry about anything. Just follow me. That's all we're left to worry about. And he says, if we do follow him, guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to be fishing for men. Now, I've got a bunch of fishing poles in my shed. And I can go admire those fishing poles all I want. But that doesn't mean I'm a fisher of fish. Not until I take those poles out, throw them in my trunk, run to a pond somewhere, and throw the hook in with some bait on it. Then I become a fisher of fish. We're not a fisher of men unless we gear up with some gospel tracts and a Bible in our hand and go where the fish are. God says if we're not doing that, guess what we're not doing? We're not following. We've looked at the negative side of not following. Those things apply if we're not following. God says if we're not fishing, we're not following. And so all those negative circumstances, such as kindling God's anger against us, such as committing great sin, is what the Word of God says in 2 Kings 17:21. He calls it great sin. We're not worthy of Christ, and we sacrifice the blessings. All those things apply if we're not fishing. Because if we're not fishing, we're not following. It's not rocket science. Just very simple thoughts. All right, well, let's move along. Matthew chapter 19. We're looking at the positive side of this. What will following do in our lives? Because we like to count the cost. We want to know if it's worth it. God says it really doesn't matter if we think it's worth it or not because we've been commanded in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. And so, really, it's not an option for us. If we're not following, it's great sin. Because, therefore, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible commands following. So we've got to do it. But nevertheless, he blesses us just for simple obedience. In Matthew chapter 19, verse number 28, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that they which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What we find here is he talks about the regeneration. And though we may not understand what that is, it's very simple to explain. It's just the millennial kingdom. It's the millennial kingdom. And so he's telling us that if we're following him in the millennial kingdom, will have a place of authority. Now, in the millennial kingdom, I don't want to be a street cleaner. How about you? Is that what you want to do? Do you want to be a refuse collector? And there's nothing wrong with these jobs. They're honest jobs, but my aspirations are a little bit higher than that. But if we're not following, that may be where we wind up. I really don't know. But he tells us if we are following, guess what we're going to do? Judging a whole tribe of Israel is a very important position, a very high position in the Lord's government during the millennial kingdom. And so if you follow, God promises that place and position because he knows he can trust you. And would you put someone in a place of authority that you couldn't trust? But if we're following, that means he can trust us. And if he can trust us, he's going to put us in that place of authority, that high position in his kingdom. We may not understand the value of that in this life. But by faith, we see the value as we read through the Word of God. And when we get there in the millennial kingdom, we'll understand that this is a very high position and a very great honor to have. And we'll see the value at that time. And what a shame it would be if we got there and having not seen the value, and so we're pushing a broom down the curbs of the avenue, and we see the people in position and say, man, I wished back in the day I had understood the value of this position. But I didn't, so I don't have it. And so we need to understand the value so that it'll encourage us to follow. And I believe that's why we only have 4 negative descriptions, and yet we have 9 positive, more than twice as many. Because God wants to encourage you to follow him. He wants to encourage you just simply to be obedient and do what he says when he says, be followers of God as dear children. All right, well, let's move along. Turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Let's read verses 27 and 28. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi. Now, we know him better as Matthew. Saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And notice what Matthew did. He left all, rose up, and followed him. You see, a follower leaves everything else for Christ. A follower leaves everything else for Christ. There's a lot of things that are important, and Matthew, boy, he had it going for him. He had a nice position as the tax collector and a very lucrative position for him. But when Christ called and when he followed, he found that it was well worth it. Peter asked later on, we've left everything. What will that do for us? If you look in Luke chapter 18, we see what Jesus' response to that question is. But see, if we're going to follow Christ, that means we have to be willing to leave everything else. Now, he doesn't tell us to leave everything, but he tells us we need to be willing to leave everything. And so Christ needs to be the center of our attention. Otherwise, we're going to get distracted and we're not going to follow as closely as we ought to. Or as the psalmist said, we're not going to follow hard after him. In Luke chapter 18, let's look at verse 28. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. And so he gives us a promise for now and a promise for the future. The promise for the future goes with simply being saved, life everlasting, and that ought to be enough to convince us to follow the Lord. But Jesus knows our hearts, and Jesus knows that we have difficulty seeing the future and difficulty evaluating the worth of these things in this life. We don't see the value of life in the next so much. So he gives us this present tense promise that we'll receive manifold more in this present time. And so being willing to leave all these things behind. Now look at what he lists that we ought to be willing to leave behind, to leave house. That's our comfort zone. That's the place that is our own little place. Our parents, security, our brethren, our wife, our children, those that we love. To be willing to leave them for Christ because we're following Him. Too often a spouse doesn't go to church until their spouse decides they want to go. They weren't willing to follow. And while they think they're gaining their spouse, they're not gaining their spouse. What they're doing is losing Christ. We need to follow Christ because if we follow Christ, we find that we'll receive manifold more in this present time. Or let's turn over to the gospel according to John. John chapter 8. Verse number 12. John 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now the question is, what in the world is he talking about when he says the light of life? And I think what he means when he uses that word light, he's just talking about understanding. That those that follow after Christ will understand what life is all about. You see, those that don't follow Christ, those that don't have any time for the Lord and for His Word and for His church, they don't know what life is all about. They think life is all about getting rich, and they think life is all about staying healthy, and they think life is all about vacations, big vacations, and they think life is all about the booze bottle and all about the drugs and all about all these things that the world is chasing after. But when we're following after Christ, we understand that life is not about those things. Life is about serving God and bringing glory to His name and serving other people and trying to win people to Christ and get crowns in heaven for all eternity and investing in those things that are eternal. When we follow Christ, we understand why God has placed us here. And it makes life an entirely different experience. So much so that we understand the fullness of joy that the world doesn't have. Because they have a chase after an elusive thing. If money is their goal, they're always chasing money. And they may have a great accumulation, but it's never enough to satisfy. If they're chasing after the booze or the or drugs, they'll never find satisfaction there. Whatever it is they're following after, it will not bring joy. But following Christ brings that joy. And so we understand life. We're not groping around in the darkness, tripping over one thing after another. That's the advantage. That's a positive description of following Christ. All right, let's move along in the book of John. Let's turn over a couple chapters to chapter 10, verse number 4. John chapter 10, verse number 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He's talking about the shepherd of the sheep from back in verse number 2. He's talking about himself. He says, if my sheep follow me, they know my voice. What a wonderful thing to know the voice of God and to hear God speak. You see, the world doesn't understand that. They have all types of superstitions and they're willing to follow false prophets, oftentimes called astrologers, and all kinds of weird stuff. But they don't know the voice of God, the one who created the universe and everything that's within it. But if we're following after Christ, we understand His voice and we have a clear direction and we have a confident walk and we know where we're going and what we're supposed to be doing. And so we have something that they don't have. We hear the true voice of God that others don't have. But only if we follow, only if we're obedient to the command, be followers of God as dear children. Let's look over in chapter 21 of John. John chapter 21, verse 22. And now this is when Jesus looked over at Peter after the resurrection and says to Peter, let's go for a walk. And during that walk, Peter is asked the three times, lovest thou me? But look in verse 22, because John was getting a little nosy, wasn't he? And we saw John following. And so Peter says to Jesus in verse 21, Lord, and what shall this man do? Talking about John. Verse 22, we have Jesus' answer. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, what Jesus is saying to Peter is, don't get distracted by other people. Don't be preoccupied with the affairs or the ministries of other people. He says, our only concern is to have our eyes upon our Savior Jesus Christ so that we can follow Him, so that we don't get in the wrong path. You know, if you are constantly looking over your shoulder, you're going to not be able to walk a straight line. And if you're trying to follow someone, you're not going to be able to do it if you're constantly looking over your shoulder. You'll eventually lose sight of them and not be able to follow any longer. And so God says, don't worry about anybody else. You just worry about yourself and you follow me and you keep yourself on the right path. And that'll be an encouragement to them. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Here we have our last positive description of what it is to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's allowed to make quite a statement here, a statement that I wonder if you could make. He says to the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Followers of Christ can encourage others to become followers of them. Because if they're following someone following Christ, then they too will follow Christ. Is this something we can say? Will we lead them along the right paths? Will we lead them along the paths of Christ that Christ would have them walk in? Or will we lead them astray and into things they ought not to be involved in, or types of things they ought not to be involved in, such as music or language or whatever it may be? Can we truly, honestly say to others, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ? You see, someone who's following Christ can say that with a clear conscience. And so we've seen a positive description of Christ. Now let's think about that word followed just a minute here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye followers of God as dear children. He says follow. He doesn't say get ahead of. And I believe one of the most difficult Christian disciplines is learning to wait on God. Because we live in an instant generation. We want everything now. Now, I don't go in the grocery store all that often. And I certainly don't go in the frozen food section all that often, unless it's the ice cream section. But yesterday, I was kind of surprised. We were going through the frozen food section, and I was surprised at how many instant dinners there are now. You just throw it in the microwave, I guess. I don't know. I didn't look at the directions on all of them, but I just saw the amount of them. Boy, we need things right now. And don't talk to Amy, because I'm the same way. When I get hungry and it's dinner time, I want it right now. Maybe she ought to invest in some of those. But anyway, when it comes to our Christian life, we so often carry that attitude over. We want God to act right now. We want God to open the door right now. We want God to reveal His complete will for our lives right now. And when He doesn't do it, we shoot off in the direction that we think is best for us, that we think He's going to lead us. And oftentimes we find out that was not where God wanted us. What a tragedy. I believe that explains oftentimes why so many missionaries go on the field and then come back home after just a brief time. Because we've got to follow, not get ahead of. And sometimes following means we need to sit down and wait on God to open up the door, to make clear the path. Following also means not run off in any other direction. You know, so often we get distracted by the things of the world that we can get away from Christ, and we've got to guard against that. And I think we all understand that. But he also says followers of God. You know what that implies? That implies progress. That implies progress. In other words, we're not to stop moving until he tells us wait. But as soon as he moves, we're to move. Now think of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, and there's that pillar that's a cloud by day and a light by night, a fire by night. You know, whenever that moved, they followed. Whenever it stopped, they waited. And that's exactly what God is telling us to do here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. But it implied progress. Now, if they had followed a part of the distance and then they got to the point where they said, we're tired of moving around. This place seems to be able to sustain us okay and it's comfortable. There's nobody else here. We don't have to fight in war. We'll just stay here in the wilderness. They could have done that and stopped their forward progress, but then they would have never entered the promised land. They would have never had the best that God had planned for them. And I can guarantee you they're glad that they continued to follow to the end when God crossed the Jordan River with them and they won the land. Don't ever stop your forward progress. If you're still breathing God's air, God says don't stop your forward progress. God says you still need to follow me. There's still room for spiritual growth. There's still room to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, certainly you're not what you used to be. None of us should be what we were when we first got saved. We should be more into the image of Christ today than we were yesterday. But we never get to the point where that growth stops. Never. Not according to this verse. He doesn't say, be therefore followers of God as your children until you reach the age of. That's not in there, is it? Always continue to progress. Now, how do we do that? It's very simple. The same old. Stay in church. Stay in your Bibles. Continue to pray. Obey Matthew 4:19. And the track report, that's one way we do it, by distributing tracts, fishing for men. Sometimes we can be a little more active than that, and we should when we can. But we need to continue to progress. When we cease to progress, we have ceased from following. And if we ceased from following, we've committed great sin and kindled the Lord's anger against us. And so this evening, again, let me encourage you, follow God as dear children. You'll never regret it in this life, and especially not in the life to come. Father, we're grateful for your word and such a simple verse, and yet so much in it. Father, we know we've barely scratched the surface, but Father, I trust that through the power of your Holy Spirit, it's enough tonight to encourage us to make that decision, to make a commitment to follow for the rest of our days. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.